So we're going to be doing a sermon that's unlike most that I've done here. This is a topical sermon. And so we'll be looking around at different passages for the points of the sermon. But we'll be starting in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Revelation chapter 2 begins on page 1225 of the provided Pew Bibles. Revelation chapter 2, this is God's Word. Pay attention. It's worthy of your hearing. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks amongst the seven golden lampstands, say this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. When we were at the church picnic the other night, many of you said a lot of nice things about our family. I was specifically encouraged by how many of you shared your hearts with how much Olivia has done in the backgrounds. I was really thankful. And at the end, there was this awkward time when Olivia and I could tell one of us had to stand up and say something. And she thought, why isn't Brian saying anything? And I thought, well, for the last few months, I've thought about what I would tell you tonight as we leave, as our family goes to Iowa and ministers there. What would I leave you with? What words of encouragement would you receive from God, from His Word? Your call tonight is remain steadfast. Remain steadfast. And the first part of that is remember your first love. Remember your first love. See, there's something that happens. You come here and every single day, if you've been removed from the day of your salvation by a week, by a month, by a year, by a decade, by 25 years, by 50 years, by some of you who are much older than I am, by 70 plus years, the gospel might become something ordinary to you. There's a real temptation in this life that this world and your natural self will want to just become used to Jesus Christ. For those of you who are married, you know what this is like, right? Do you remember when you were first married, when all you thought about was your new husband or your new bride? That's all you thought about. You went to work and you were thinking about her. You were doing the laundry and you were thinking about him. You wanted to talk with that person. You wanted to care for that person. You don't even have to be married to know this. Just have loved someone. But what happens by anniversary 1? 5. 10, 25, 50, you start getting used to that person. It doesn't mean that you don't love them anymore, but you've forgotten the power of what it was like to love that person with all your heart. Go back to your wedding day, Christian, with Jesus Christ. Do not forget the blood Jesus Christ shed for you. Do not let the gospel become something ordinary to you. The second person of the Trinity came in the form and likeness of a man and lived upon this earth, suffered the temptations we heard about this morning, that you might be his bride. He bought you. And it's miraculous. While you were dead in your transgressions and in your sin, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Don't let that become common. You were chosen. Jesus lived a perfect life so that he might love you perfectly. Jesus died a death that you might live with him perfectly. Jesus was raised from the dead that you might be justified, that you might have a right standing with the Father. His own righteousness he gives to you. Don't let that become common. The most amazing gift in the entire world, and he must remain your first love. Do not forget your love, Jesus Christ. It will be a temptation. When you come to the Lord's table, you do it in remembrance of him. Don't let it become common or ordinary. You need to love Jesus. You need to remember that first love. But how do you remember your first love, right? If someone were to come to Pastor Micah and say, I'm not sure I love this person anymore. There would be some diagnostic questions, some checkup questions he might do with the couple. Right? First is issues of sin and stuff like that. But there might just be some real practical questions. Do you guys talk to each other? Do you just like listen? Do you care about what the other person says to you anymore? Right? If you are going to kindle this love for God, the love which you once consumed your soul, you gotta listen to him. You gotta be in his word. You gotta hear his word. You gotta soak it in. It's gotta be a light unto your path. It's gotta be a joy to your heart. You gotta get it in there. Memorize it, soak it in, listen to it, read it. Meditate upon it. If you're going to make sure that your love for God isn't growing stagnant, you need to make sure that you're praying to him. And when you pray to God, don't just come to him and take your dump load of requests and here you go. That's all you are to me, God, my lucky charm. No. Praise him for who he is. In your prayers, take time for what theologians call adoration. Come to him and just tell him, God, you are holy. And just meditate upon that in your prayer. Meditate on his attributes. Meditate on his mercy. Tell him how merciful he is to you. Tell him how you've seen it in your life and in the lives of the people you love. Confess your sin to him. Take your guilt and say, Lord, I know that I'm still sinning. We heard that today again from 1 John. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We got to take that sin and we got to lay it at the feet of God and confess that sin. Because if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all that righteousness. You want to maintain your love for God? Keep bringing that sin to his feet. Keep living your life knowing that you got to get rid of sin. You got to confess it. You got to repent of it. You need to realize that that is how he is going to continue to sanctify you. Continue to grow you in holiness. Continue to make you more like the image of Jesus Christ, the one you love. But it's amazing. One of the things that happens when you are consumed with that love, we'll just talk about your spouse first. Right? I have a family member who I won't mention. And this person, they really loved someone recently. It was like every time we went to her mom's house, it was like she couldn't stop talking about this dude. All the time, it was him, 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 him. When Olivia and I were first engaged, my family made fun of me because they thought I knew just one subject in my life. Everything was about Olivia, because that's all I wanted to talk about. The outcome, the overflow of your heart when you are kindling that love for Jesus Christ is you're going to want to talk to people about Him. The world's not going to want you to talk about Him, but you're going to want to talk about Him. Talk about Him. Share Him with people. It's amazing what happens too when you evangelize to people, when you share Jesus Christ with people. Jesus becomes more precious to you because you remember what He did for you. You preach the gospel to yourself when you tell other people about Jesus. Lastly, sing to Him. Right, if you're going to kindle your love for Jesus Christ, sing to Him. Pick up your psalter and sing to Him. In your devotions, sing to Him. Sing His praises with joy in your heart. Right? We're good RPs. We love solid doctrine. But solid doctrine about psalm singing is that we sing it with grace in our hearts. Because we're thankful for the God who loves us. Sing it with joy. Sing it with confidence. Remind yourselves of the promises of Jesus Christ. And as you sing this, you are singing the words of Jesus Christ. Pick up Psalm 22 and sing the words of Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me? And try not to remember Jesus' anguish on the cross for you. Sing to Him. So first, remember your first love, but we also sang tonight Psalm 133 about brothers and sisters dwelling in unity. And your second point in remaining steadfast is to remember your family. Remember your family. Turn in your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we'll look at verses 16 through 19. For even in Thessalonica you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied. Having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians, the entire book is a gigantic thank you letter. Thank you to the Philippians for their prayers, for their support. And here he thanks them for the specific gifts that they sent him while he was in Ephesus. And it's fitting now for me to say thank you for showing the reality of the body of Christ that you have not forgotten your family. In 1 John 2:10, we read something amazing about the family of God. The one who loves his brother abides in the light. There is no cause for stumbling in him. I'll read it again. The one who loves his brother abides, it remains in the light, speaking of Jesus. And there is no cause for stumbling in Him. And our family and I want to say thank you. And what I'm going to tell you now is not a comprehensive thank you list, because if I were to say thank you for every single thing your family has done for us, your brother and sister, there'd be two, well, you guys would just want to fall asleep. But when I was in Chicago doing my church history degree, I was talking to one of the men there in our small prayer group, and we were talking about how life in a lot of churches is different than life in a Reformed Presbyterian church. He was from a big evangelical background, and he found out that little churches like Eastvale and little churches like Westminster out in Chicago can have a pastor and actually pay him. And when he found out about this, he says, I don't understand. We can't have a full-time pastor in our denomination without a minimum of 250 people. Because the average person in the church gives less than 1% of their income to the ministry of the church. And you have not been those people. Thank you. When we do baptism, forgive me. When we do baptism, there's a time when the pastor is taking the vows upon the parents, what they're going to do for that child. But then there's also a point when the pastor stops. He looks at the congregation and he asks the congregation for vows, for the things you're going to do for that new member of the congregation, that new baby. Caring for that child, encouraging the family, praying for that new child. And all four of our children have been baptized in front of you, and you have taken vows to all four of those children. Thank you for upholding those vows. One of our biggest concerns when we started our photography business was who's going to care for our children every single Saturday for 10 to 15 hours, sometimes 17 hours a week. And Olivia was very careful about trying to get all of our kids to stay together and to go to families so that our children might together be discipled and see what family worship looks like by other families. To see what discipline looks like by other families. Thank you for telling our children, stop it. Thank you for praying for and with our children. Thank you for discipling them. And this isn't just to the adults in the room. There are many young people in the room who have discipled our children by spending time with them and talking with them. Thank you. Thank you for your prayers for us. Multiple times there have been those of you who have just stopped and have just said, we're just going to pray for you because you knew something was going on in our lives. And thank you for caring enough about our family that you would take us to the throne of grace and pray for us. Thank you for rejoicing with us when things were going well. And thank you for helping us when things weren't going so well. There were times when our business was not going well. And those were the times when you and the congregation showed up on our porch with pizza. Or showed up with a whole bunch of groceries from your trunk. You did not forget your brother and sister. And while you might have thought it was nothing, when you clothe one of these, you do it to Jesus. Thank you for living the gospel and not having an empty faith. Remain steadfast in that. Remain steadfast in sharing your lives with brothers and sisters. I'm going to call Micah out. Thank you for preaching the word of God in season and out of season. Thank you to our elders for leading us in green pastures. And as I watch some of you care for those who are going through the valley of the shadow of death, thank you for bringing Jesus Christ to those who needed him. Thank you for your friendship, and thank you for your love. Thank you for your prayers. We will be eternally grateful for the gift of love you have shown our family. My last words to you tonight are from the last book we went through together, 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. Turn with me there. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. It's an easy verse, but it's important. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. John is not talking about just we little children. He's not talking about Talalyn and Ellie and the little ones in our congregation. You are God's child, and he's speaking to you. Guard yourselves from idols. You need to guard yourselves in two different ways here. The first is that you need to guard yourselves from the idols that this world is going to place in front of you. This world is going to try to sell you a bill of goods that something else needs to be the most important thing in your life, whether it's money, whether it's pleasure, whether it's honor, whether it's whatever it is, the biggest house, the fanciest car, the best promotion, the most friends, whatever it is, fastest in your sport, best in your class, the world is going to try to put something in front of you as what you should be attaining to. And it must not be that you chase after. It must be that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Fix your eyes firmly upon Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of your faith. Fix your eyes upon him. The world's going to put every type of idol in front of you. Don't be deceived by them. So the seed of the world, the seed that falls upon the rocky soil, is that which sprouts up quickly, but the cares of this earth and the desires of this world quickly choke it out. Don't let it be choked out. Guard yourselves from idols. The world's going to put them in front of you, but there's an even bigger temptation that you need to guard yourself from, and that's the idols that you'll put in front of your own self. Calvin is famous, John Calvin, that reformer in the 1500s, is famous for writing, "Our hearts are a factory of idols. We'll never be short of idols that come from our own sinful nature. You're not a slave to them, though." Romans 6 is absolutely clear. You are not a slave to sin. You are not a slave to any idol that your heart might produce. You are a slave to Jesus Christ. Chase after him. Yeah, we are a redeemed people, but we need to be a people that is on guard against even the deceitfulness of our own hearts. We can be turned away quite easily to the right and to the left. This is why it's absolutely imperative with 100% certainty. You must be in God's Word. You must be hearing it. You must be guided by it, because in it you are a voice calling from the wilderness. This is the way. Not to the right, not to the left. Sorry, your directions. But this is the way. Fix your eyes upon Jesus Christ. Don't let any other idol come in front of you. Remind yourself of who you are. You are a child. You are a blood-bought, redeemed child of the Lord Jesus Christ with a full inheritance. Don't sell it for something perishable in this world, as if it could be. Don't let this world fool you even for a moment. Guard yourself from these idols. Remain steadfast in your love for Jesus Christ. Never lose your awe of who God is. I would encourage you, read your Bible, get into it, hear Pastor Micah's preaching, but also pick up some thick, hard theology books just to remind yourself that you haven't exhausted who God is. Good place to start if you just want to rekindle that awe of who God is R.C. Sproul's The Holiness of God. Or A.W. Pink's The Attributes of God. Or if you're one who is really a glutton for punishment, you can pick up Chalmers' The Attributes and Characteristics of God. You won't exhaust him, I promise you. His thoughts are greater than your thoughts. Stay in awe of him. Guard yourselves from idols. There's nothing here. This is trinket stuff. Right? A new doodad in the car is not going to be the thing that satisfies your soul. It will for a moment. That sinful desire, that little bit of pleasure you might have in sin. Remember what Hosea says about that. All sin has a pleasure for a season. You're not going to find anything in this world that's going to satisfy you. In the end, if you're putting it in front of yourself as if that's the thing you need to desire, you're going to fall short. You need to desire God. Don't let anything else become your idol. Never forget. If you're one of those, even now, who have found yourself that this once flame of a love for Jesus Christ has gone down into the embers, and you're just a hot coal, no longer on fire, but just still there, fan that flame. Put fuel on that fire. Rekindle it. Remain in Jesus Christ. Let the love of Jesus Christ dwell richly in you. Brothers and sisters, remain steadfast. Remain steadfast in the Lord. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us and caring for us and showing us mercy and grace and cleansing us and making us as white as snow. Thank you for presenting us blameless and spotless as a perfect bride and for loving us perfectly. We don't deserve it. God, we pray that you would indeed work these words into our hearts, that we would love you with an unquenchable love. Holy Spirit, do this work, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.